the 3rd of January, 7 games completed, 9 games in total. We will see where we're at once I'm through. I'm on a minutes restriction tonight. We need to get this done. This is the Friday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Do I say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please like, please subscribe, please thumb up us. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Let's get straight into the games. Actually, let's not. I am on a minutes restriction, but a couple of things. Let's start with Jimmy Butler. So he has been suspended for 7 games. The Players Association, for some reason, sees this as not fair. Miami have said he's bringing to the team's morale, whatever it is. He should be suspended. You can't come out and complain like that. So anyway, I don't think anything will come of this. He'll be suspended for a few games. Are there any pickups? I don't think so in Miami. I mean, we've seen them playing without him on and off for the last month anyway. It's probably a little bit more of Terry Rozier. Tyler Herro will have to continue doing a lot. Jovic, Duncan Robinson, not really Highsmith. Those guys are just going to get small bumps, but I don't think we need to go and add someone. Maybe Jovic, but yeah, pretty unexciting. We'll talk about Jabari Smith when we get to the Houston game. Just one other thing I was thinking about while I was out shopping this morning about player injuries and especially with the hip injuries, calf injuries. I know every year we seem to have more of something. This year I think it's hip injuries. I was wondering, and I mean finding a reason, that there's probably a lot of things, but I often think there are way too many timeouts and stoppages in the games. And I do wonder if that impacts injuries because players are constantly stop starting. They play for 5 minutes, you stop for 3, you play for 6, you stop for 4, you play for 2, you stop for 10. It's very, very stop start, which has to impact the muscles and all sorts of things. And I do wonder if teams, when I was playing basketball, not that I was playing anywhere near this level, of course, but you train pretty, it's fairly full on. And I would argue that players are now, they're not being conditioned to what games are actually like. And there's more timeouts, there's media timeouts, but there's also challenges and referees challenging and reviewing decisions. And I don't know, I just wonder whether that has an impact on players at all. Anyway, let's get into the games. Charlotte at Detroit. Detroit get another win. They're looking okay. 98-94. To be fair, Charlotte are not looking very good. So no LaMelo and no Brandon Miller. Both were close. I would assume they will play in the next game. But with them out, we looked at Micić, who actually was pretty stinky tonight, 4 and 5. He got 5 assists, are fine, but this is why they just need LaMelo out there because Micić is not a great player. Miles Bridges did a little bit more, shot the ball, didn't go in, but he had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals and a block. So numbers are good. Mark Williams, 18 and 9 with a block. Not his best night, but still more than adequate. Nick Richards, just doesn't play enough at this point. To be rostered, maybe a deep league streamer for rebounds. That's about it. There's not really a lot to talk about on this Charlotte team. I'm just going to focus on fringe guys as well for this one because, as I said, I am on a bit of a minutes restriction, having to head out soon. For the Pistons, no Jaden Ivey. So, of course, we got Wendell Moore starting, and that makes a ton of sense. I'm not sure this happens again. He had 0 points in 15 minutes, 2 steals, but not that anyone would have streamed him in, really. So I think they're going to just play around with this until they find what works. Asar Thompson, who we talked about picking up, he played 14 minutes off the bench. Weird, but all right. I would hold him. They may get to a point where they try him and go, oh, he's actually good. So I would just try and hold him for another week or so, two games. Let's see what happens. Tobias Harris, though, he stepped up. So we've been flirting with him as a drop. I said with Ivy out, he probably makes sense as a hold now because he's going to have to do more theoretically. And he did. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. Now, I'm not expecting this every night, but this is closer to what we thought he would be doing this year. So if he was dropped, I would probably go and add him. If you did drop him 2 days ago, then the process that we used to reach that decision was absolutely 100% correct. We did not foresee a season-ending injury to Jaden Ivey. So, yes, it sucks, but not much you can do about it. If he's still available, go and pick him up. Jalen Duren, 10, 14, and 3. Looking better. I won't say he's where we want him to be, but he is certainly looking better. Beasley, he should be rostered. The shots didn't really fall tonight, but he's usually a bit better than this. And Tim Hardaway, probably 2 or 3 rungs down from him, but if you need 3s, he can be streamed in. Orlando at Toronto, Jalen Suggs suffered a weird-looking back injury. He was sort of just playing in a passing lane and crumpled to the ground. So it didn't look great. They're calling it back spasms, which could mean anything, really. Back spasms can be 2 games. It can be a month. You just don't know. Back injuries are probably the hardest to predict because there isn't really a grade of back injury. So you just hold him and you wait and see. Orlando continue to deal with a lot of injuries, but somehow won the game. They were only against Toronto, 106-97. So if Suggs misses time here, I guess it's Cole Anthony. Anthony Black was not available in this one, so he would also come into the equation. Anthony had 9 points, 11 assists with a steal. He's not that exciting, but he's just going to have to play because they don't have... Surely they play him over Corey Joseph. De Silva, who had been very up and down, I think I actually predicted he would have a good game this one because he had a bad one. He'd been on bad, good. And anyway, he did have a good one, 25 and 4 with 2 steals. Has to be rostered. Caleb Houston, I wouldn't be rostering him. Goga had 11 and 13 with 3 blocks. So, nice game for him. Didn't shoot particularly well from the field or the line, but he was still fine. And KCP, we have to roster him as well because they need him out there doing stuff. Toronto, still no RJ Barrett. Igbaji had 15 points. He's a very soft hold, but as soon as Barrett's back, I think we can move on. Scotty Barnes had 20 and 9 with 3 assists and a steal. We don't need to talk about Pirtle. We'll talk about Grady Dick. 8 points, a steal, 5 rebounds. This is the floor. The minutes are still fine. He took 11 shots. He hits 2 or 3 more of these, and he has 15 points, 16 points with a steal, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, which is fine. So I think he's still old. Quickly, 11 and 11. Obviously a step down from what he did last game. But again, shots weren't falling. He shoots 40%. This is probably a 20 and 11 game. So he will be absolutely fine. New York at OKC. New York were ahead in this one for a while. OKC just stormed home. For the Knicks, Brunson returned. McBride was out. Monitor Jalen Brunson here. I think this calf thing will hang around and he may miss games from time to time. But not a lot to talk about. Starting 5 are all good, and we don't worry about anyone on the bench. For OKC, Hartenstein only 4 points, so pretty quiet offensively, but he still had 14 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block. So doing what we need him to do. Kayson Wallace had 2 steals. Lou Dort, 11 and a steal. Yeah, and a block. He's fine. Again, I think I would just have him over Case and Wallace. Aaron Wiggins was really good down the stretch in this one. He had 19 points with two blocks, but he was just red hot. So I wouldn't expect this every game. I do like him as a player, but the minutes aren't consistent enough for him to be rostered everywhere. I don't think Boston at Houston. For Boston, Porzingis returned. Pretty quiet, but good to see him back out there. Horford was out due to rest. Sam Hauser started. I said if Jaylen Brown was out, he's probably worth a look for threes, and that didn't work at all. He had 0 points on one shot attempt. He's still a three-point streamer, but this was pretty disgusting. Everyone else okay. Peyton Pritchard had 20, so nice to see him getting back on track. Luke Kornet, 9 and 10 with a steal and a block. They didn't need to push too hard in this one, Boston, so the minutes were up a little bit for Kornet, for Nemesh Kater. For Houston, Jabari Smith fractured his hand in the pregame. Don't know what he was doing to fracture his hand, but he is set to have surgery, and they gave him a 4 to 8 week timeline, which is a very, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, it's very different. 4 weeks, 8 weeks, very different. I think we're looking at 6 here. Tari Eason would be the obvious add if he were healthy. Word is that he's getting closer. He was doubtful and then out tonight. So if you have Eason, I would hold, if at all possible, I would hold him in your IR spot for another 2 to 3 games, and hopefully we get some positive news out of Houston that he is coming back. I don't think he's going to come in and play starters minutes or anything like that, but they are going to need him to play possibly a little bit more than they had envisaged. Amen Thompson gets a bump as well. He could come into the starting lineup. They could go small-ish. Thompson can play big, well, sort of big. He's a good rebounder. So it will probably depend on who they're up against here. But I think he will get close to starters minutes now, so has to be rostered, should be rostered anyway. We're not interested in Jeff Green, who still plays for Houston, apparently. Cam Whitmore, only 11 points with a steal, 6 rebounds, but 34 minutes. Very interesting. He just didn't shoot the ball well. When Amen comes back, he will take some of these minutes away. But if Tari does miss another week, Cam Whitmore is probably worth picking up just until we get clarity on what his role is going to look like. He was pretty vocal about his displeasure at his current role. Here's an opportunity for him. Let's see what he can do with it. And Boston did win this one too. I didn't say that, but 109-86, so fairly comfortable win for them. Washington at New Orleans. Good win for the Pelicans. They needed a win here for themselves and for the city. 132-120. For the Wizards, Valanciunas minutes were back down slightly, but still played 20, had 9 and 10. This is about the cutoff. If he's at 20, he's probably a hold. Lower, he's a drop. Higher, he's definitely a hold. Kispert, we stream him in for points. That's about it. Brogdon is a hold, but it is good that they're bringing him off the bench and only playing him minutes in the mid-20s. They're leaning into their youth, which is what they need to be doing. Kuzma started. Very Kuzma line here, 14 and 7 with not much else. He's a hold. It's good that he's not shooting the ball as much. Jordan Poole had 26 and 7 with a steal. He did leave, went to the locker room, but was able to return and closed out the game. So, but good that he was able to do that, but I would monitor the injury report. I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up there for the next game. Champagne started. If he's starting, he should probably be rostered, 12 and 7 with 1 assist, 3 steals and 2 threes. He'll do enough if he's playing minutes. And, yeah, I mean, Keyshawn George, we know he has an interesting fantasy game, but he's not playing enough at this point. For the Pelicans, it was all about CJ, 50 points, three rebounds. Nothing else. This was purely scoring. And obviously, this is, well, almost undoubtedly going to be his best game of the year. Sell high, if you can. I doubt you can, but you could try. Herb Jones had 10-6-1 with two steals. So a little bit better for Herb. His floor is pretty safe because of those steals. Trey Murphy cooled off a bit here. He still had 17 points with five assists, two blocks and one steal. He will be fine. Misi, 12-11 with a block. He will be fine. DeJounte Murray, 11-12. Still can't shoot the ball, but everything else is really good. Zion getting closer. He's taking contact. I would assume if he's taking contact, he's probably a week away, if not less. So I would expect him to pop up or to be upgraded at least. Maybe not for the next game, but the one after, I would say he is close. And also Kawhi Leonard, they didn't play tonight, but Kawhi Leonard is aiming to return tomorrow night against the Hawks. He was upgraded at about 11:30 p.m. to questionable. So expect to see him out there on a pretty strict minutes limit. So where are we activating him? If you can move someone into his spot in the IR, I would. If you have to drop someone who is fairly consistent, I would. I don't know. I'd think about it. Boston had 13 points off the bench. He outplayed Hawkins in this one. Alvarado returned and had three steals. That's what he does. He is a steals streamer. Cleveland at Dallas. Dallas fall in this one, 134-122. They were without Kyrie Irving. We'll start with Cleveland and we'll finish with Cleveland because very little to talk about. LeVert outplayed Strus in this one. Apparently, they're just going to chop and change good games. Both are worth a look in standard leagues, but as we've seen the last week, knowing which one on any given night is tough. So I think Strus will be the slightly preferred option, although LeVert does have a bit more variety in his fantasy game. So he can hurt your percentages, but he gets defensive stats, he gets assists typically. Strus actually had seven assists tonight, which you will not get every night. For Dallas, PJ Washington returned from his knee not sprain, 15-7 with a block, so that's fine. Klay Thompson had 16 points. Yeah, it's fine. He hasn't really stepped up, but I'm not sure he can anymore. But you take 16 points with four threes, that's okay. Derek Lively, 7-11 with a block. The minutes were up from 20-27, so trending in the right direction. Him playing more hurts Daniel Gafford. Gafford is, maybe you could hold him for another one or two games, but he is certainly trending back down. Quentin Grimes started alongside Spencer Dinwiddie. This is why I preferred Grimes over Dinwiddie. Obviously, this is not going to happen every game. Grimes had 26 points with six assists, one steal. Only one three. He will normally shoot better from three. So, should be rostered everywhere, as should Dinwiddie. He only had 2 points with five assists on one of seven shooting. So not a good night for him. Jaden Hardy stepped up with 17 off the bench, but once Kyrie is back, and he was only out due to an illness, so this won't be a long-term thing. Jaden Hardy will go back to being a drop. And game of the night, I think. No real arguments there. San Antonio get the win. This was impressive over Denver, 113-110. For the Spurs, they were without Jeremy Sochan. So it was Steph Cassell that got the start here, not Julian Champagne. Now, Cassell's numbers weren't great, and I'm not picking him up, but he was certainly impactful in this one. He was a team best plus 18 in his 24 minutes. He looks good. I don't think he translates super well to fantasy, but I think they've got a nice piece there. Harrison Barnes did nothing. Good old Harrison Barnes. Wemby was fine. Chris Paul, 11 assists. That's why we're rostering him. Devin Vassell, I know people have been a little bit, or had questions about him anyway. He had 18 points, six rebounds, six assists, two steals. Only 3 of 6 from the line, that hurts, but everything else was very good, and he led the team in minutes as well. So he looks very healthy at the moment, which is good. Champagne, only 25 minutes off the bench, but he did have 15 points. As long as Sohan's out, I think he is also someone we can consider, along with Keldon Johnson, if you need points and not much else. And for Denver, Jokic, very good. Westbrook, not as good here scoring-wise, but he still had 9 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. 0 of 2 from the line, not ideal. Christian Brown, 11, 8, and 5 with 2 blocks. Again, settling into that top 100 range really nicely. Peyton Watson, if you don't need steals and blocks, I think he's a drop. 2 points on 1 of 4 shooting. He had 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 rebounds. So he had been playing more minutes than this, so I'm going to hold him at least one league, if not two, and just see if he can turn things around a little bit. But, yeah, it doesn't look like his ceiling is as high as we thought it might be. And let us just see. This game should be... Okay, both games are done. All right, we can probably... Because I did watch... enough of these games. Let me just do some quick editing here while you look at my head. And we will go. So Sacramento get the win over Memphis. And Lakers get the win over the Hawks. Let's just bring those two games up. Lakers. Okay. Right. I've got 5 minutes. Let's quickly do these games. Let's bring the screen back on. Memphis at Sacramento. Okay, we're good to go. So Jalen Wells, career high 30 points. Didn't do much in the last quarter, but yeah, played really well. I've said he's a streamer for points. We are certainly not going to get 30 points from him every night, but this was good to see. Brandon Clark started, he returned and started. Played 23 minutes, had 11 and 8 with a block. That's close to a 12-team line, but I do think Edie was coming off a concussion here. I would say this will flip a little bit, and we probably end up getting 25, 26 minutes of Edie and 20 of Brandon Clark. So fine if you want to hold him. Edie, I would be holding. He had 9 and 7 with a block in his 22 minutes. So good to see him back out there. Who else do we need to talk about? Jackson, no. Bane, no. Pippen was pretty good, but again, they limited him to 25 minutes. They just don't seem to want him out there more than that, which makes him a hold, but not an exciting one. He had 16 and 5. Luke Kennard, I've talked about him and his playmaking upside. He led the team with 9 assists. He can do this. He is a very good shooter, but back in Detroit, he was doing this years ago. 11 points, 32 minutes. I think he's probably an ad. He's rightfully so. He's rightfully ahead of Jake LaRavia, John Conchar. So I don't mind taking a bit of a flyer on Kennard while Jar and Marcus Smart are out. For Sacramento, surprise, surprise, you start Keon Ellis and you win. We will see if what they do when Keegan Murray returns. As for Keon Ellis, he got in foul trouble early and still played 34 minutes, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Has to be rostered at the moment when we reevaluate when Keegan comes back. And just with him there, I think everyone looks a bit better. Monk, his best game in a while. DeMar DeRozan, his best game. Sabonis not having to do as much on offense, which is ideal for the Kings. Fox couldn't really hit a shot, but still finished with 23, 5 and 3, 3 steals. Trey Lyles had 16 off the bench. I don't mind him at the moment. They're running a shallower rotation. Devin Carter returned, but we're not interested in him at all. So Lyles is someone we could probably consider at the moment. And let's just jump to the last game. Oh, we don't need to look. All right, Atlanta, Jalen Johnson returned. He looked pretty good. He tweaked something at one point in the game, didn't really let on what it was. I think that shoulder's just going to bother him continuously, but that's okay. I think they'll manage him through it. Ricochet, no, we don't need him. Clint Capella, again, he's playing 22 to 23 minutes. He's probably a borderline hold, but he's very specialist. Rebounds and some blocks, that's it. Trae Young had 33 and 9 with a steal. Dyson Daniels, 13, 3 and 4 with 5 steals. So good to see the defense back there. DeAndre Hunter, his worst game in what feels like forever. He is a hold, but this is the issue with him. When he doesn't score, he doesn't have a lot to fall back on. 3 points on 1 of 12 shooting with 3 rebounds and 1 assist. We'll cut him a break because he has been very good. Okongwu had 14 and 11 with a block. I would love to see him just push back into a 28-minute role, as would Atlanta, I think. Bogdan, he returned and had 5 points with 3 steals. I don't think we need to roster him. He has some name value and he is better than this, but he's been pretty rough this year. So I'm okay with not holding him as well. For the Lakers, Anthony Davis was just invisible in the second half. I think he had 17, 15, something like that at halftime. Finished with 18 points, just couldn't really hit a shot, but he had 19 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. So, yeah, the field goal percentage is a little bit iffy with AD at times when he settles for those mid-range jumpers. Just go to the basket, my dude. You're massive and you're a good player. LeBron had another 30-point game. Hachimura, 13 points. We don't need to be rostering him. Reeves, again, couldn't really hit a shot. But still had 27 and 6. Max Christie, we hold him. Was never going to do what he did last night, but he had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. But the minutes are fine, 32 or 33 of them. Finney Smith, it doesn't look like they're going to utilize him in any meaningful way. So 24, 25 minutes a night is not enough. Same for Shake Milton and Dalton Connect. He hit some threes here. You can stream him in, but good luck knowing whether he's actually going to hit his shots because it doesn't seem to happen all the time. All right, let's have a look at some questions very quickly as I quickly read through. That's what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, okay, let's start at the top. Yes, if we want a player to break out, so if Shining Knight, if you could just let us know when you're going to drop someone so we can go and pick them up. But to be fair, a man should see an uptick. So that's a positive there. The fast pace, then suddenly. This is regarding what I said about the stoppages and whether that impacts players. The injury risk, because you're warm, then you're cooling down, then you're warm, then you're cooling down. And that is not how we used to train. I don't think you train for that. So, yeah, I do wonder. This felt worse than Clowney's fall. What do you think is the timeline for Suggs? Yeah, it was pretty different to Clowney. Clowney's was just an impact injury. He just hit the floor like a sack of shit. And it would have hurt, but he's going to have bruising. That's about it. Suggs looked more like a muscular thing or a disc thing, just the way he crumpled and it wasn't an impact injury. He just twisted the wrong way. And as I said, this could be, it could be a game. It could be 2 weeks. Really hard to know. It's hard to give a timeline on this one. So I'm not really going to try. I probably would expect missed games, but I don't know how many. Should I pick up a man or Naz Reid in another league looking for rebounds and points? I'd probably go with a man. I know Naz Reid has been better the last couple of games, but he's been pretty hit or miss. I think I'd go a men. Is Cam Whitmore a must add? I think so. I think so. Probably until Tari Eason is back. Butler not being IR eligible is going to suck. He will be on Fantrax. Go and play on Fantrax. But yes, it does suck if you're on ESPN or Yahoo, I assume. What's McHale's ceiling rest of season? He's been better. That weird shot thing that he had at the start of the year seems... I mean, he's still shooting the ball a little bit weirdly, but he seems to have adjusted to it, which is always the plan. What's his ceiling? I would say top 50 is probably best case. I'd probably safely put him in top 70 range. Is Steve a dick for offering Norm for Jimbo? Jimbo as in Jimbo Butler? I don't think so. I mean, with Kawhi returning, people are going to be down on Norm a little bit, and he is going to take a hit. You could argue that he'll get better looks because there's now someone other than Norm Powell and James Harden who teams are going to have to focus in on. So he could get some better looks from three, but it could be quality over quantity a little bit for Norm, where he gets better looks but less of them. Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's never someone that I'm actively trading for, but I think that's fair. I think if you want to try and get off Norm now, Jim Butler, no matter where he goes, as I said, he's going to want to play and will undoubtedly play with a chip on his shoulder. So he could have a good run wherever he ends up, assuming he ends up somewhere. How does Zion returning impact Herb? Still a must roster or a drop for Amen or Naz Reid? I think Herb is still a must roster. I mean, you know my thoughts on him. He's very specific. He's basically steals only. Low turnovers, if that matters to you. But I would probably have Amen over Naz Reid. Herb Jones, but I would have both of them over Naz Reid, I think. Yeah, if that helps. You can pick one of them up by putting Suggs in IR and the second by dropping Herb. Oh, okay, so you could pick them both up. Yeah, as I said, I would have Amen over Naz Reid, but look, Naz could go on a week or two of good production here. Dinwiddie got benched three times. Yeah, that's the risk. With Dinwiddie, Jalen Wells pick up of the night. Thanks for that. Yeah, he's been playing well. He's got a fairly locked-in role there. He's not going to be this good. Conchar value died immediately. It did. Vassell's free throws did hurt. I do see your question there, Alex. I'm just quickly scrolling through to see if there's anything I can deal with quickly. Is Trey Lyles a must-add? Yeah, I think so. He's been good. He hits threes. He's a decent rebounder. Doesn't do a lot else, but I think he's okay. This feels like what a Kongwu does. Trade Capella, unleash a Kongwu. Yeah, it's very a Kongwu. We get this every year. It does. Gets our hopes up. Next year we think, okay, it's a Kongwu time, and we draft him, and yeah, nothing happens. The cricket game is peak drama. It has been... And nothing to do with the cricket either. All the off-ball miles covered in a game would... Yeah, it would. A lot of getting over screens and a lot of movement. It's so much faster than it used to be, the game. Try to convince your league to play on Fantrax. It's just, I know the interface is not quite as good. It's better than it was. But in terms of customization and flexibility putting people in IR spots, settings, all that stuff, I think it's far and away the best platform. Do I think Lively or Claxton will outplay Gobert rest of season? Oh, yeah, Gobert's been pretty rough. Lively, Gobert. I think I'd probably have them in a similar range. I'd probably have Gobert and Lively just ahead of Claxton, but I think they're pretty comparable. Do we think that Kawhi can hit 24-6-4 that we saw last year? I think per game Probably not. I'd probably have him closer to 20 points, maybe 22 with 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He'll still be good defensively, 1.2, 1.3 steals, 1.5 threes, but he's efficient. So I think per game he could be top 15, but he's just not going to play every game. And where was that Alex question? There it is there. How would I rank Sohan, McHale, Dyson, IQ, Vassell, Suggs, rest of the season in a points league? Well, points league. Well, yeah, Dyson I don't think has as much value in a points league. Let me just close this down here. So that's probably what's going on here with my computer. I don't think Dyson would be at the top of that list. Who would I have at the top? Let's have a look. I think I'd probably have Quickly first, I think, in a points league. Quickly, I think, first. Then maybe Vassell. Suggs is probably in that range with Vassell, but will take a bit of a hit when people get back. McHale probably in that range. Yeah, Sohan, I don't think. Sohan's been good. Maybe I would have him above those guys. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have Quickly first. All right, so Quickly, then I'd probably go Vassell, Mikhail Bridges, Sohan, Suggs, Dyson. But, like, IQ would be number one for me, pretty clearly, if he hits his ceiling. Then I'd have the rest of them probably within about 2 rounds of each other, 2 to 3 rounds. So I don't think there's a significant difference there. Was tonight's game for Tobias, does it correlate with Ivy being out? Yes, it does. Was it a fluke? It's probably a bit of both. It's certainly the fact that Ivy is out. Harris is going to have to do more if they want to keep winning. So I think he'll be closer to what we thought he'd be than what he has been. He won't be this good. We're probably looking at top 70 Tobias moving forward. But if he puts together sort of 3 or 4 good top 50 games, I would certainly consider moving him if you could. Keon Ellis, a pickup for Herb. Tempted to stick with Herb. I would go with Keon Ellis at the moment, but I understand the hesitation given the risk with Keon, because we don't know what's going to happen when Keegan Murray comes back. Common sense would say Keon Ellis should start and play 30 minutes a night, but we don't know. So right now I'd prefer Keon Ellis to Herb, but yeah, long term I think sticking with Herb. And look, they are similar. They profile the same way. Is Keon better than Herb? I don't know if I'd say he's better. I still think Herb is slightly a better defender at the moment, but they are pretty close. Like they're very similar. I think Keon is a better shooter, better scorer than Herb. Just doesn't get opportunities on that Sacramento team. And that's not what you roster him for. But I do think he's probably has higher upside in threes. But again, he would need to hit that 30-minute mark, which we don't know if he's going to do. All right, well, that will do for today. Glad I was able to squeeze that in before I head out. I do need to head out now, though. So thank you, everyone, for watching along. Again, please go and like. Please go and download. Subscribe, do all of that stuff. I will be back in the morning with a pregame show. There's no super early games, so as per normal, I will be here doing a show. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep postgame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.